Second Chronicles chapter 7, starting at verse number 11. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there." We're going to spend some time in considering prayer today. I've asked the 30 gentlemen that I've asked to offer prayers today. I want y'all to be prepared. You're going to come up in just a second and pray. Y'all should see some of y'all faces right now. We're not going to do that. But I do want us to think and consider prayer today. I think some of you know that my wife is at home sick and got some news from the doctor that there were some spots that concerned them on her lung. She had a CAT scan on Friday and we're awaiting results. I know that she's at home asleep, but she wants to be here. And would ask that you would keep her in prayer. And also right now, we're going to spend just a moment in prayer. If there's someone that's on your heart, if there's an issue that's on your heart, if there's a praise that you feel like this is the time I need to give God some praise, I want to invite you all right now. Let's just spend a couple minutes in prayer. Let's pray. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or in earth. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your compassion. We thank you for being swift and fair in your judging. We thank you for being wise in your counsel. We thank you for being gentle in your comfort. We thank you for being real in your approach to us. We thank you for becoming human so that you might show us the depths of your love and the depths that you would go to have intimate relationship with us. Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer that we might communicate with you, that we may speak to you, and you would speak to us. And God, we thank you for the opportunity to have friends and family to whom we call on you often about, whether they're sick or hurting, or whether we're wanting something good to happen to them. God, we pray for our friends and family who are sick. We pray for those who are waiting results or waiting to hear back from employers or new opportunities for students or waiting to hear back colleges that they want to go to. God, we ask that you would be with all of our friends and family. And God, above all, we just want to continue to give you praise for being a God that is so big, yet so close to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever considered how much God was a benefit to Israel? Moses asks that question this way in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7. He said, "What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him. Meditate on what that statement is saying. I mean, Moses in his farewell address in Deuteronomy is asserting something pretty powerful here. So great and powerful is the Lord God Almighty, but so close to the heart of his people that he hears him or hears her. So consumed with maintaining this vast universe, yet so concerned to intervene when called upon by his people. Our God is so high, yet so near to his people. And in terms of nearness, he's probably more near than we really think or believe. Our relationship with God pertaining to his closeness and availability is unmatched when it comes to our relationship with other powerful entities. For example, I may have some things on my mind that I want to share with the President of the United States. Now, that's a pretty powerful guy in the world. Y'all agree with me with that? Now, isn't it easy for me, if I want to say something to President Obama, to just pick up the phone and dial 1-800-WHITE-HOUSE or something and call and say, yo, Barry, I need to holler at you for a second. Is that how it works? I better be quiet because it may be some people coming through the door right now to, like, take me down. It's not that easy to talk to powerful people on earth. I mean, well, listen, we live in an electronic age, so it would be easy for me to just sit down at my computer and send President Obama an email, and I'm sure he'll read it and he'll respond to it personally, right? Isn't that how it works? No, it doesn't work like that, does it? I remember years ago, back in 1994, I was at a playoff game, the Buffalo Bills. Now, I know that don't match playoffs and Buffalo Bills, but hear me out. I'm at a playoff game, and this was a game they were playing against the Miami Dolphins. I remember that game because I remember it was a snowstorm the night before. There was snowbanks this high, and I remember at this game, Buffalo versus Miami, and we dominated them. Thurman Thomas was the running back, and man, he ran all over the field and did some things. Probably ran for about 160, 170 yards, a couple touchdowns. And you know, after the game, I stood by the locker room where the Bills come in. Do you know that Thurman Thomas, I mean, I paid my money to go to this football game. I was in the stands rooting for Thurman Thomas, this great running back. And do you know, when I'm standing by the locker room, do you know he had the nerve, khaki, walk right past me, right into the locker room, didn't even acknowledge me. Do you understand how special and powerful our relationship is with God? In that he's so powerful, so great, yet he's so near to us. And we can call on him anytime we want. While the passage from Deuteronomy is referring to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, the passage in 2 Chronicles dealing with Israel, there are similar sentiments in the New Testament. James chapter 5 and verse 13, passages where many of us are familiar with. James chapter 5 verse 13 says, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any of you sick? He should call for the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sin, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. There is an assumption commonly held by the people of God that God is near and that he hears his people. Paul, in his sermon to the Athenians in Acts chapter 17, he says, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own prophets have said, we are his offspring. Church, we are being formed and we are being shaped. And it is commonly held belief that prayer is a way of connecting to this great God in order for him to mold us and shape us and change us and reconfigure us and make us into his image. So let me take a wild guess here. I think that the majority of us in here have a great desire for God to do something magnificent in us. I think that many of us in here have a desire to be better people, to be better parents, to be better spouses, to be better children, to be better students, to be better neighbors, to be better siblings, to be better employees, to be better employers, to be better leaders, to be better Christians. If we believe that God is who he says he is, and if we believe that prayer is a formative tool in dealing with us, why don't we pray more often? Why is it when we call for times of prayer, only a small percentage of us participate? Why is it when we call for a month of prayer, 30 days of prayer, if I'm going to ask everyone here to just be completely honest and say, how many people have been praying diligently in response to this challenge to pray every day for the month of April, April 1st through April 30th, how many hands would go up in the air? When it comes to prayer, it's something that we're confident and we're forthcoming when it comes to saying, hey, please pray for me. But how many of us really participate in daily and fervent prayer? Now, I'm not here to sound accusatory, but I do want to be challenging by illuminating that sometimes our walk doesn't match our talk. This is why I think today's focus of scripture in 2 Chronicles is so vitally important to us all. This is why we find ourselves in moments like this being challenged again at a pivotal moment in the story of Reynoldsburg. This text is a pivotal moment in the history of God's people, Israel. The long task of building the temple of God had been completed. Upon the completion of the temple, Solomon prays to God. Now, I want you to hear some of the highlights from this prayer recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, the chapter previous. Here are some of the things that Solomon, as he's praying in front of this structure on behalf of the nation of Israel. Chapter 6, verse 14, it says, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way, you have kept your promise to your servant David, my father, with your mouth. You have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it as it is today, referring to the promise that a temple will be built through David's line. Continuing in verse number 18, but will God really dwell on earth with men? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built. Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy. O Lord God, hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence. May your eyes be open toward this temple day and night, this place of which you said you would put your name there. May you hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. Hear the supplications of your servant and of your people, Israel, when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. Dropping down to verse number 24. When your people, Israel, have been defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back and confess your name, praying and making supplication before you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of the people Israel and bring them back to the land you gave to them and their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live, and send rain on the land you gave your people for an inheritance. What a powerful prayer by King Solomon, made to God on behalf of the people. Now, don't miss this opportunity to learn from this prayer. Hear Solomon's prayer and be reminded that there is no one or no thing like our God. Did you hear that beginning of his prayer? O Lord God of Israel, there is no other God like you. That's an acknowledgement that there are some who will claim that there are other gods. There are other entities. There are other things. There are other people. There are other forms. There may even be other religions, but nothing compares to our God. Church, do we believe that? Do we believe that our God is so intimately and ultimately and infinitely unique that there is nothing like our God? And that is the reason why we pray to this God, because he is so infinitely unique. I mean, as far as the heavens are from the depths of the earth, that is how, and even bigger and wider than that is our God, so much more unique. And to him we give praise. Be reminded of that as you hear Solomon pray. Be reminded from this prayer that God is a big God and cannot be contained or limited to time or space. I want you to think about that for a moment. You know, since the dawn of creation, it seems we have been trying to shape God, define God, and limit God. I call it the boxifying of God. What I mean by that is, since the dawn of creation, we have been trying to put God in a box. We've defined the dimensions of that box. We've defined the size of that box. We've defined the function of that box, and we've put God in that box, and we've said that God can't do this, and God won't do this, or God doesn't do that anymore. God is God, and we are not. Let's take him out of the box and allow him to live in his domain, which is everything. He's too big for our boxes. He's too big for our definitions. He's too big for our calculations. He's too big for our reason. He's too big for our science. He's too big for all of that. Let's take God out of the box, and let's not be the church of boxifying, but a box of glorifying. A God who is too big. Let's be reminded from this prayer that sin is a problem. Sin is a problem. We have pain. We have suffering. We have wars. We have sickness. We have diseases. We have conflict. We have disappointments. We have sadness. Church, is because of sin. It's because of sin. Sin is a problem. And if you take a deep look at this prayer, Solomon spent a great deal of time pleading with God on how to deal with the people, not if they sin, but when they sin. It's when they sin, because sin is a problem. Not to spoil, or I guess this is a commercial. The end of June through July, we're going to be preaching a series, I think 6 or 7 week series on sin, where we'll talk about how sin has ruined relationships. It ruins relationships with God. It ruins relationships with others. And it is an explanation as to why there is so much pain and suffering and affliction in this world. How fitting at this pivotal moment in Israel's life that we see the king praying to God, and how awesome that God actually responds to Solomon's prayer. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, as God is speaking, he appears to Solomon and he responds in part this way: I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among the people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. A people who pray. There might be a whole lot more to talk about in reference to that text of 2 Chronicles regarding the temple and Solomon's prayer. But this event is an event in a long string of events before and after. that illuminates this idea that God's community of people, His followers, they pray. God's people pray. When you look at the many instances, stories we find in Scripture, old and new, God's people pray. In Genesis chapter 24, one of Abraham's servants prayed that his son Isaac find a wife. In Exodus chapter 2, the Israelites prayed for God to rescue them out of Egypt. In Joshua chapter 10, Joshua prayed that the sun would stand still so that the day would be longer to give them more time to defeat their enemies. It's the day the sun stood still. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, there was a woman named Hannah who couldn't have children. And so she went and prayed before the Lord that the Lord would bless her so that she might have a child. In 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon prayed for wisdom. In 2 chapter 20, Hezekiah prayed for his life to be extended. In Ezra chapter 9, Ezra and the people of God there prayed a prayer of confession. In Job chapter 6, Job prayed a prayer for God to take him out of his misery because he was in so much pain and in affliction with the disease and the sickness that he had. He just said, God, just take my life. I'm tired of all of this suffering. In the book of Psalms, we read many prayers. And not to go through all those prayers, but let me tell you that there were psalmists who prayed when they were happy, and they prayed when they were sad, and they prayed when they got caught, and they prayed when they were lonely, and they prayed when they were confused, and they prayed when they were complaining, and they prayed when they were hurting physically, and they prayed when they were angry, and they prayed when they were crowning a king, and they prayed when they were going to celebrate the Passover. In Daniel chapter 2, they prayed for Daniel to be able to interpret a dream. In the book of Esther, they prayed that Esther would have the courage to go up before the king so that their lives might be preserved. In Habakkuk chapter 3, Habakkuk prayed for stronger faith. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus prayed when he was in agony. In Luke chapter 1, Mary prayed a prayer of glorification of God. In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed for unity. In Acts chapter 4, the church prayed for boldness. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prayed for inner fullness. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter prayed for Christians to remain steadfast in their calling. In Jude verse number 24, Jude prayed to him who was able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. In Revelation 5:9, they prayed a prayer in song to the Lamb that was slain. You know what? I read all of that to say this: God's people pray. Do you see that you can't be the people of God and not pray? So then, what if we became a community shaped through prayer? Might we find ourselves at every pivotal moment in our story like Solomon, with hands lifted high in prayer to God? Might we find ourselves at every pivotal moment praying? Might we be like Abraham's servant, praying to God for spouses? Might we be like Hannah, praying for children? Might we be like Esther, praying that their lives might be spared? Might we be like David, praying a prayer of forgiveness? Might we be like Jesus, praying to God in our most agonizing moments? Might we, with great joy and exuberance, pray prayers of praise like we see in Jude? What if we were a community shaped by prayer? Would prayer meetings be the norm and not the exception? When we come together, you think we might not be afraid to ask for anything? What if Church, I want you to use your imaginations. What if we were a church dedicated to prayer? What if we were a church saying we are going to be shaped through our communication with God, both speaking and listening? Martin Lloyd-Jones, an author, wrote this. Always respond to every impulse to pray. The impulse to pray may come when you are reading or when you are battling with a text. I would make it an absolute law of this. Always obey such an impulse. Ian Bounds, who wrote countless volumes on prayer, he wrote this. Those who know God the best are the richest and most powerful in prayer. Little acquaintance with God and strangeness and coldness to Him make prayer a rare and feeble thing. That's to say, if you have a deep, committed relationship with God, you communicate with Him on an ongoing basis. That's typically how we define good relationships in our human interactions. The better we communicate, typically, the better the relationship. So can I ask you a question? Do you hurt? Do you need healing? Do you need restoration? Do you need comfort? Are you lonely? Are you searching? Are you confused? Are you tired? Are you fed up? Are you restless? Are you sick? Are you bored? Are you broke? Are you broken? Hear God when He says this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So church, pray. The next several minutes, want to invite you, if you have written a prayer request, if you haven't written a prayer request, want to invite you to write one. On the next click, there's going to be a song that's going to play. It's about 4 minutes. So if you so desire, what I want to ask you to do on your index card, if there's something you want prayed about, I leave it up to you. You can put your name on it if you want to. You don't have to. If you want it to be anonymous, that's fine. But I want you to come and just lay your card up here on the stage. After we come back, we'll stand and sing an invitation song. Before you leave, if you place the card on the stage, I want you to come back up to the stage and take a card that's not your own. And I want you to commit to praying for that request or praying with that request. It doesn't have to be something or a request or a petition. Doesn't have to be, you know, heal my brother. Doesn't have to be, Lord, help me to get a new job. It could be, God, I just want to thank you for being bigger than my imagination. And so what I want you to do, if you take that card that someone else wrote, I want you to commit to this week praying for that card fervently. During the week. So as this song is played, if you haven't written anything, take the time to write a request. If you've already completed that, just whenever you feel moved, just come and lay that request on the stage.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God.
just the way it is. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. Before time began, you are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're the only God who's you're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God, and that's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You are on your times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone.
You're
unchangeable, unshakable,
unshakable,
unstoppable,
unstoppable.
That's what you are.
That's what you are.
Unchangeable,
unchangeable,
unshakable,
unshakable.
Before time began, you are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You are God alone. From before time began.
Jay and Bill, if you would come forward, and Justin, just want to encourage you, you know, if you put a card here to please take a card. I cheated and put two cards in, and so I'll take two cards out, but let's commit to praying. But I just thought it would be fitting if both Jay and Bill would just surround these requests and just offer prayers on behalf of the body. And Justin and I would just stand and hug you and support you while you're praying. Is that all right? Yes, if you want to come forward and join the elders as they pray, you're welcome to do that. And you can grab cards. Bill's making up. What's up with these master's jackets I'm seeing? Say what now? Go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
Almighty God, creator of the heavens and earth, giver and taker of life, we adore you, God. Father, we Father, we we see your scripture, and we read in it that you knew us from birth, that you delivered us from our mother's womb. Father, you know our hearts. Father, you know how each one of us walk, the things that we do and say. Father, what a great joy it is to have you in our lives today. Father, we are so blessed by you. Father, allow us to hear your word. Father, pray that you comfort those in here that are lonely, those that are suffering from depression, those that are suffering from a traumatic event, those that have lost loved ones, those that need your strength. They're not able to walk anymore by themselves, but they need you to carry them. Father, pray for our love in this body to continue to grow. Father, I pray for our unity, for our understanding of each other, for us not to put you in a box, but for us to open our minds and listen to what you have to say as we look at your word and as we read and study together. Help us to cling on to a light that's been given through your word, and to share it with others, and not to be critical of each other in the things that we would say and do. We all have our areas where we need correction. Father, above all things, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for delivering your creation. And Father, thank you for Jesus and every knee that bows in his name. In Christ I pray.
And Father, as we continue in prayer, I pray that you be with us all. As we stand here now, we see the thoughts and concerns and requests and dreams and wishes and of many people here in this family laid out before us. And Father, like an iceberg, this is probably just the tip. But Father, we pray that you would be in the hearts of those who will respond to these cards. Be with them as they pray for these items, and bless them for their hearts to serve you and to take those thoughts and concerns of one another into their lives. And Father, as we gather here, not knowing what's on these cards, but I'd like at this time to offer a special prayer for Christy Frazier and for her health conditions, and for Dion and the stress that he goes through as he thinks about Christy and what's in front of her, and for the girls. And Father, this is just an idea of the kind of things that go on in this body. And Father, we know that you are the one who can take care of these things, to bring us strength and comfort. And Father, thank you for this opportunity to share in being one with you and one with each other. In Jesus we pray.
Thanks, Bill. As we sing this next song, if you want to, there's something else that's not on this card. Is this something you need to share with the body? Want to give you the opportunity, but also if you want to make a public profession of your faith, you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, we want to give you that opportunity. We'll sing this song, and after we sing the song, we'll have a benediction and closing prayer. And again, don't forget to grab and embrace this challenge to be in prayer for your brothers and sisters. So let's stand and let's sing the song.